And this paper that I'm going to present is not necessarily a companion study, but it pretty much kind of is. This is a paper that I wrote in collaboration with Rock Goswan and Joe Vargas, and it's titled Cellulase Accelerates Thatch Mat Decay. And I'd start this talk by saying that there are several thatch mat control products that contain cellulase, the enzyme. There's a number of them, and this was done in 2008. So products like Thatchless and Natural Dethatcher, Thatch Buster, Microzyme, Compost Dethatch, they're all advertised in some way or another to contain cellulase, okay, which is an enzyme that degrades cellulose to simple sugars. Testimonials that you'll read for these products are all very positive, but the results and the effects of these products on thatch have been very inconsistent. The objective of this research was to determine if cellulase accelerates the decay of thatch mat. And we used a very similar method that we did as you know, I just discussed in the previous paper, looking at the effect of cellulase on carbon dioxide carbon release, percent thatch carbon remaining, and the pool size and turnover times of fast pool carbon and slow pool carbon. And we did this in 2008. So this research is actually looking at some of the things we elucidated in the first paper, that there are two carbon pools in thatch that you can look at, and there's actually more if you want to, you know, get technical about it. But we thought that it would be important to be looking specifically at slow pool carbon, okay? And that'll become obvious here in a few minutes, the reason we would do that. And so in materials and methods, we again collected some Tif Eagle and Tif Dwarf thatch. We air dried it, as I described earlier. We placed, again, the same amount in similar glass beakers, placed them in a jar, but this time we added rates of cellulase at rates of 0, 10, or 20 milligrams of cellulase, dry weight, per gram of thatch. And then we wetted the thatch with, again, 1 mL of water per gram of thatch. The cellulase that we used was purchased from Worthington Chemical. It's commercially available. It was from Trichoderma riesii. It was had 94 units per milligram of dry weight, with each unit liberating 0.01 milligrams of glucose per hour from microcrystalline cellulose at 37 degrees C and pH of 5. And one of the things that we actually determined, that the organic carbon content of this enzyme was 43%. So we took our wetted units with and without cellulase, put them in the jars containing the base as a CO2 trap, and then we quantified the CO2 that was evolving from the thatch, again by titrating it with alkali, and we measured this on 24-hour intervals over 15 days. When we look at CO2 evolution now, it mimics what some of the results I showed you in the first paper. If you look at the untreated, where we had a high rate of CO2 evolution during the first day, tapering off over time. But every time we did this where we put the enzyme in there, the biggest amount of CO2 release was always on day two, regardless. And in this is our high rate of cellulase, 20 milligrams per gram of thatch mat. Here's our 10 milligrams, and this is for Tif Eagle combined over at least two experiments. However, when we look at, and this is important, when we look at our high rate of cellulase being applied here, and we have this big evolution, this big release of CO2, you get down here to days 5, 6, and 7, we see very little, almost none come off. And the same kind of thing happened with Tif Dwarf. Okay, here's untreated, which is very similar to the Tif Eagle, and it wasn't quite the same effect with this enzyme on having a big burst of CO2 at the beginning of the study. But again, with the high rate, we come down here to days 5, 6, 7, and 8, and there's very, very little. One of the interesting things about this research was we also had to determine how much CO2 came off as a function of just the enzyme. And I did this by putting the enzyme, the same amount of enzyme, into a sand that had a very minimal amount of any kind of organic carbon in it, and we looked at, you know, we wetted it the same way, and we looked at the CO2 that came off. And this was a rudimentary way of being able to subtract out the contribution CO2 that the enzyme contributed compared to the thatch. And one of the things that I think would be very novel would be if, and I'm digressing here a little bit, is if we're to be able to take and make a C14 labeled thatch where you could trace the amount of CO2 coming off as C14O2, then you wouldn't have to mess around here and try to subtract out the difference. This was very tedious and really was very time consuming, okay? So what we found, and I think this is probably pretty obvious, our treated thatch mat released more CO2 over untreated over the first 3 days. And we had highly significant differences, big F numbers. And in fact, our untreated released an average of 2.95 milligrams, where we treated it with 10 milligrams of cellulase, it was 4.3, and then our 20 milligram was 5.84. And this was with the contribution from the cellulase subtracted, as was the data I've showed you. So as a result, the corresponding percent thatch carbon remaining also differed at 3 days, where untreated averaged about 96.7% thatch carbon remaining, where we added cellulase, it brought it down to 95, where we added more cellulase, it brought it down to 93. However, at the end of the study, at the end of 15 days, the amount of CO2 carbon evolved did not differ among treatments, okay, nor did percent thatch carbon remaining, and it averaged about 92%. So we had big differences in the beginning of the study, but no differences at the end of the study at 15 days. And you can see this pretty nicely from this figure. This is our untreated, and this is combined over cultivars and over studies, where we have, again, a very nice mineralization curve, standard curve, nice sloping curve, okay, ending at about 90, 92%, something like that, thatch carbon remaining. When we actually look at calculating what the slow pool is in the fast pool, okay, this is the regression line describing our slow pool thatch, okay, at about 96%. This is the regression line, the residuals, describing our fast pool thatch. Okay, so our fast pool decayed and had a fairly nice turnover time, similar to what we saw before, about 4 days, a little more than 4 days. Okay, here's the turnover time, and here's the percent of fast pool carbon, about 4% and about 96%, and it adds up to about 100%. Now, when we actually added the low rate of cellulase, we see that this first part of the graph, the slope drops drastically compared to the first one we looked at. Notice how nice and slow and curvilinear this one is. Up. Now, this one is almost linear over the first couple days and drops off. And we can see that when we look at our slow pool thatch, we have a similar regression line ending at about 92%, but we have a lot steeper fast pool regression line, okay, where we're actually looking here now at turnover times of about 1.5 days, give more or less, give or take. Okay, so we have about the same amount of fast pool, but it's going off a lot faster in response to adding the cellulase. When we add the high level of cellulase, we magnify this same effect. Okay, we have about the same turnover time here, about 1.5 days, give or take, but we see here that we have a much flatter slow pool. And what I think happened here is that we put a lot of cellulase in, it chewed up everything that it could until it got to the recalcitrant components in the slow pool of that thatch carbon, which cellulase is really not going to be effective on. Okay, now we actually had a reduction in the amount of slow pool carbon here. If you look at this, where we added 10 milligrams, it's about 96%. Now it's gone down to about 93%. We've increased the amount of our fast pool carbon. That pool has gotten bigger, and it's going off at about the same speed, again, about 1.5 days, give or take. Okay? And so what happened here is, you know, this cellulase was very effective in accelerating thatch decay until it got to constituents that it can't degrade. Things like lignin and hemicellulose and pectin and other slow pool constituents. Well, we see this very nicely when we look at the results of our modeling, where we saw untreated TIF Eagle or TIF Dwarf with turnover times in the fast pool here of about 3.5 or 3 days. We add enzyme to it, our turnover time decreases significantly. When we look at our slow pool, okay, we have turnover times of, for TIF Eagle, 545 days, okay, which is a little bit faster. This was at a little higher temperature than we did the original experiment. If you remember the original experiment, that turnover time was 800 days. And TIF Eagle Okay, at zero was about 300 days. So again, we found that TIF Eagle decays a whole lot slower than TIF Dwarf does for whatever reason. It probably has to do with the constituents in the slow pool. Where we add our enzyme, we increase our fast pool turnover times, and at the low level of enzyme, we, at least for TIF Eagle, decrease our slow pool turnover time. But when we put the big high amount, the high level of cellulase in here, our turnover times increase drastically, according to the models. And that just reflects the fact that you've put enzyme in to a substrate that it's not going to affect. It's in effect chewed up everything that it could, leaving behind what it can't. And we see, here's analysis of variance, looking at significant differences in fast pool turnover times and slow pool turnover times, especially with regard to rate of cellulase and differences among the cultivars. But what the data kind of reflect is the nature of what a plant cell wall is, which is what thatch is a collection of plant constituents. Okay? And most plant cell walls are cellulose microfibrils that are interwoven in with pectic substances and hemicelluloses and lignins and other constituents that form this complex hydrophobic matrix of material that the enzymes are just not able to penetrate. And that's why organic matter, humic materials, tend to stick around for long periods of time and have high turnover times in the years, okay? Because they're collections of recalcitrant materials, things that are not really available to be degraded by cellulose or cellulase-producing organisms, okay? Like you would find in nature. Oh, I don't know what I did there, but here's another view of a plant cell wall. Okay, cellulose microfibril bundled in lignin and hemicelluloses and other materials. So what this data implies is that cellulase at a rate that's high enough converted a portion of a slow pool to the fast pool, okay, and a larger volume of thatch carbon as fast pool decayed rapidly until the recalcitrant materials remained. And those are the materials that are not going to be subject to decay. And at that point, the cellulase-mediated decay was curtailed. And it's likely due to an inability for cellulase to hydrolyze recalcitrant constituents, things like hemicellulose and lignin, which can constitute about 93%, if we look at what our models told us, it's about 93% of thatch carbon as a slow pool. Okay, that's your slow pool, the stuff that's not going to degrade very quickly. So treating with cellulase accelerated decay, but it didn't ultimately decrease percent thatch carbon remaining over 15 days. Because that happened, okay, the return on investment for products that contain cellulase may be questionable. And furthermore, the enzymes that are going to attack the recalcitrant materials, the lacases, the peroxidases, hemicelluloses, things like that, may provide a better chance for enhancing the slow pool decay, which is what needs to happen if you're going to get some kind of significant decay of thatch mat in a system. Now, Jack Wong and his grad student at the University of Georgia are looking at fungal lacases applied to thatch with some success. I've actually talked to Jack a couple of times about implementing a study where we actually create a C14 labeled thatch, so we don't have to deal with the whole CO2 contribution from the enzyme, because that messes everything up, and apply both cellulase and lacases and peroxidases to thatch, because I think if we can find an enzyme that's going to attack the recalcitrant constituents and attack that slow pool, the material that doesn't degrade, that's going to be the key to unlocking the production of materials that are actually going to be commercially available to help golf course superintendents manage their thatch, in addition to doing cultural practices like top dressing and vertical mowing and things like that. Any questions, please?
If you have a young green versus a mature green, let's say you just did a renovation and you went to Fifty Bancrest or you went to TIF Eagle or TIF Dwarf, would the products that presently contain the cellulase, would they have a better chance of working because the slow pool constituent would have a lower percentage of the total thatch? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a really good question, and I think there may be some validity to that. I think that the younger the turf is, less chance there is, or less time there is, for a lot of the recalcitrant constituents to become accrued and accumulated. So if you took an older green versus a younger green, that'd be a great experiment to look at, with the hypothesis saying that there would be a difference in those two. Whether or not that's actually true, I don't know, because when plant material is created, that slow pool is already there, at least to some degree, because the plant cell walls are being created. There's cellulose microfibrils that are going to, again, be interwoven with lignin and the pectic substances and hemicellulases, which constitute the fabric of that plant cell wall. That's a great question. I don't have a real answer for that.